today. Why are you a target of Satan? Why are you a target of the enemy? That's our subject today, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read beginning with verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why are you a target of the enemy? Why? Last week, we preached from Psalm 24, and the verses that we read last Sunday morning, who is the King of glory? Psalm 24, verse 8. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. We talked about the Lord, who is our defender, the Lord who fights our battles. And most of you didn't know, but I was pretty much in a battle myself. I didn't even know I had pneumonia. And I didn't know that my blood pressure was stroke level. I had no idea. But I knew I was in a battle. And I also know that many of you are in battles. Many of you are in a fight for your life, or maybe a fight for your marriage, or a fight for your family. You're in a struggle. You're in a battle. And I think we need to recognize here today that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Our battle is not on a physical plane. It's not on a physical level, even though sometimes it manifests itself in our life as a physical struggle. The deeper and the greater battle is a spiritual battle. The thing that is going on right now in your life, it has spiritual implications. It has spiritual significance. For all of us that are believers, everything that happens in our life, every struggle, every battle that we have, it all has spiritual meaning. It all has spiritual significance to us. And the enemy is fighting, and he's fighting against us. So I've been thinking, I had plenty of time to think this week and meditate this week, and just been thinking, why? Why am I a target of the enemy? Why are different ones in our church? Why are we under the attack of the enemy? Why is it going on? Let me read you another verse from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, be sober, or be on guard. Be vigilant, which just means stay awake. Be on guard, stay awake. Because your adversary, the devil, that pretty clearly identifies who he is, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So what do we do when he attacks that way? The next verse tells us what to do. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Just remain steady. Just remain steadfast in your faith. When you get hit by this roaring lion of the enemy against you, when he roars into your life, in some circumstance or some problem or some physical sickness or whatever you are struggling with today, you resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Understand that this is a common experience for those who follow the Lord, who serve the Lord. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's going through it. You're not the only one that's getting hit head on. You know, the enemy comes in a lot of different ways to attack you. The Bible says he comes as a serpent, very subtle serpent, to try to beguile you, to try to tempt you, or to enchant you. And then he also comes as an angel of light to deceive you, sometimes to try to lead you into something false. Comes as a roaring lion. As a roaring lion is how he's described here in 1 Peter chapter 5. As a roaring lion to bear down on you, to come fiercely against you, to try to destroy you, to try to destroy your faith. He comes as a roaring lion. You see, the lion is known, he's the king of the jungle. Whenever he roars, then all the other jungle wildlife runs for a place to hide. The roaring lion who intimidates and is really just simply saying by his roar, I am in charge in this place. That's why he comes at you and me as a roaring lion. He wants to convince you, God's not in control. I'm in control. I'm in control. He comes as a roaring lion to see who he may be able to devour. The way we respond to him is we stand steadfast. We resist him steadfast in the faith. And no matter what we experience, no matter what struggles in life, we hold steady. Amen. Because we know God is faithful. Hallelujah. So why? Why are you a target of the enemy? Why am I a target of the enemy? Number one, I've got five reasons why we are targets of the enemy. Number one, you're a target of the enemy because you were created in the image of God. You were created in his image. God created man in his own image. Created he him. Male and female created he him. And so we were made in the semblance of God, in the figure of God. And even our physical body shaped and formed and created by God. And the enemy hates you because of your resemblance to God himself. When he looks at creation, the crown of creation was man. And when he looks at man, then he remembers that he was created by God, and he is created in the likeness of God, to know God, to be like God, to serve God. And so he hates you because you were created in the image of God. That's everyone in the world. Everyone in the world. That's why when you see people that are emaciated, or their body has been ravaged by drug addiction or whatever has been going on in the enemy, you see people, their physical body has been so affected by the different vices and attacks of the enemy against them. You can see that he attacks their body in an attempt to destroy the image of God. So he's working to deface it, to somehow disfigure it, to deform it. So if it's by disease or whatever way that he can, the emaciating of the body, the defacing of the body, all these things that are going on in our culture today, the marking up their body, their cutting of their body, the destruction of the physical body through drug abuse, or all these different things that are going on today. It's all because the enemy hates who you are, and that you were created in the very image of God. And all of mankind
was created in the image of God. Amen. He also has targeted you. For those of you here today that are saved and born again, he's targeted you because you are a Christian. Because you serve the Lord. You have been born again. Isaiah 59 and verse 15. It says, yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Because you're a Christian and you turn away from that which is wicked and you turn toward God and the things of God, the word of God, the love of God. You turn toward God and you've turned away from evil and things of this world. Then you make yourself a prey. You become a target. As soon as you become a Christian, you become a target of the enemy. That's why some of you that have gotten saved, you're thinking, I thought everything was going to be easy when I got saved. I thought my life was going to be peaceful and I'd never have any more problems or any more trouble when I got saved. Not so. Not so. The only difference is once you are saved and born again, then you have God fighting your battles for you. God is with you. God is giving you the strength. He's giving you the grace to go through whatever experiences you go through. But you still have an adversary. As a matter of fact, the enemy, he wants to destroy the people of God. Wants to destroy even your physical body. But you now are called by his name. You are a Christian. You're called by the name of Christ. And because of that, you have become a target of the enemy. Amen. Just because you're saved. Just because you got born again. You are a target of the enemy. Number three. You're a target of the enemy because of the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life. See, when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes into your life. Amen. When you're filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit takes full control of your life and you are baptized in the Spirit. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5 talks about the anointing of King David and how that he was anointed first in the house of his father Jesse. You remember the story of Samuel, the prophet, coming and anointing him to be king. Just a young boy comes out of the fields taking care of his father's sheep, and he's the one that's chosen and he's the one that is anointed that day. Then a little later on, he's anointed over Judah and he becomes king of Judah. But eventually he is anointed for the third time over all of Israel, the king of Israel. And after that third anointing, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 17, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed King David over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold with the anointing. Yes, comes great blessing and great power into your life, but also you become a target of the enemy whenever the anointing of the Spirit of God is upon your life. Now, the anointing is something to be coveted. It's something to be desired. To ask God to anoint your life, to anoint you, is just simply asking him to put his Spirit upon you, to direct your steps, to empower you, to lead you, that his Spirit would be upon you so that you could fulfill the purpose of God and the call of God in your life. But the enemy hates that. Why do you think that we've heard the tragic stories over the years of different people in ministry and different people that you had much confidence in, and then you hear the story of their tragic fall into sin and the terrible things that take place in their life, and they succumb to temptation, and then there's all of this that happens as a result. It's because the enemy targets those who are anointed. He targets the anointed, and It's not just preachers, but he does. He targets preachers and pastors. He targets moms and dads. He targets every one of us, whatever place in life or ministry that we may find ourselves in today. You are a target because you're saved. You're a target because you're anointed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Spirit of God is upon you, and you are targeted of the enemy. Number four, you're targeted because Satan knows the potential of your life, and he knows that you have a future. You see, the enemy, Satan himself, was cast out of heaven. One third of heaven's host fell from heaven with him. Satan and that one third of the heavenly host, they know that they are doomed. They know that their final destination is they are going to be thrown into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. They are doomed. They know that. And they know that they have no future. And the enemy also knows that your life is all about your future. And that God has come to give you a life and to give you future and to give you his blessing. Amen. Know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or to give you a hope and a future. The enemy doesn't have a future. And so he wants to rob you of your future. He wants to rob you of God's plan in your life. You see, God's plan for you is more than you can even comprehend. You can't even imagine all the wonderful things that God has in store for you. What he wants to do, what he can do with your life if you just completely yield yourself to Jesus. If you give your life to the Lord, God's plan for you will begin to unfold. You'll begin to see God working in your life and see God moving in the circumstances that you are faced with. But you're a target of the enemy because the enemy knows that God's plan for you and God's potential, your potential in God is great and wonderful and mighty. Great things that God can do and will do if we will yield ourselves to the Lord. And so you are a target of the enemy because you have a future in God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That means that God can take the person that walks in this building, their life is all messed up with a sinful past and all the things that they've done, and they failed again and again and again and again. And many times they think that that everybody's given up on them and that God's given up on them. But that's the wonderful thing about the mercy of God and the grace of God. God don't give up. He just keeps reaching. He just keeps on offering his forgiveness. He keeps on offering hope. He keeps on saying, I've got a future for you. I've got a future for you. If you'll just give me your life, I can do something with your life. I can take your past and I can just cleanse it and wash it and remove it, and it'll never be remembered again. I'm going to take you from day one, today, this day, March the 17th. I'll take your life from March 17th, and we'll just go forward from here. And I'll do something with your life and your future. The enemy has no future. He knows he's doomed, and he wants to steal your future and the plan of God for your life. And so you are a target because the enemy knows you've got a future. Number five, you have a target on your back because God wants to promote you. God wants to take you up. He wants to lift you up and do something even greater with you. You see, when Jesus, John chapter 17, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Jesus is getting ready to be glorified. He's just about come to the end of his earthly ministry. He's getting ready to be glorified. And as soon as this word comes that he's going to be glorified, then the enemy comes in and says, no, No, let me take you over here. And he begins to tempt him. And he says, here, I'm going to offer you all the kingdoms of the earth. It's yours for the taking if you want it. And then he takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple and says, here, you can just jump off of here, off this temple, and quotes him a few scriptures from the Old Testament. You see, the enemy knows that you've got a future, and he knows that God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you in even greater ways than you could ever imagine. And so the enemy is targeting you, because God's plan is to step you up into a whole new level of God's purpose and plan for your life. And so because of that, you are a target of the enemy. Amen. Now, that's the five that I've got today. There may be others, and I wasn't sure if I would have enough breath for more than 5 points today. But, I want to make it very clear here today. I've had three days in the recliner this week. It's miserable in some ways. In some ways, though, it was needed. It was a time I needed. And I read some things that I needed to read, and I allowed the Lord to help me, to speak to my spirit, and he did, and he spoke to me and reminded me, I'm on your side. I'm fighting this battle for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. You got to trust me. You got to hold steadfast and steady. Don't lose heart. Just believe that God is going to do wonderful and mighty things. Hallelujah. And even right here in this building here, right here in this service here today, I don't know all the things that God has planned for First Pentecostal Church, but I do feel strong in my spirit that God's plan is greater than you can imagine. It's greater than you can imagine what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to pour his Holy Spirit out upon this place. And here we are. We're in our weakness. Here we are in our need. And what more of a wonderful setting for us to receive help from the Lord than just a bunch of people who are just saying, Lord, I need you. I need strength. I need your help. I need your touch. I've got to have help from you, Lord. And when you express your need of help from God, God comes and empowers you and anoints you and blesses you and gives you victory over the enemy who wants to destroy your faith and destroy your confidence in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why does the enemy want to destroy you? Well, I've given you a few reasons here this morning, but I want you to be encouraged to cry out to God. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to encourage you. I don't know all the things, but I do know many of you share your prayer requests, your needs with me from time to time. And so I know some of you have big problems. You have big needs. Some of you your needs are overwhelming. And there's certainly more than I can do anything about myself. But I have great confidence in the Lord. I have great confidence that the Lord will help you. If you'll bring your needs to the Lord today, if you'll allow the Lord to touch you and to help you. So whatever you are in need of today, could we as a church pray together? Could we pray together for a real victory in the lives of people? Would you be willing just to bring your need to this altar here today? Just to step out? If it's physical sickness or other concerns, worries that you have, troubles related to job, troubles related to family, burdens that you're carrying, God knows all about it. He knows. And he wants to deliver you from the enemy that wants to destroy you. Satan is saying, I'm coming against you like a roaring lion. I want to get your attention and make you think I'm in control. But God says, no, 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 be steadfast. Be steadfast in the faith. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Oh, he comes with the roar of your circumstance. Yes, he does. He does.
But God wants to assure you that he's your help today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you bring your needs to the Lord today? If you're here at the service this morning, you don't know the Lord, you're not a Christian, this is your day. This is your day. Bring it to the Lord. Or whatever your burdens, whatever your needs, commit them to the Lord today. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will fill you with his Spirit. He will anoint you. He will empower you if you'll bring your needs to the Lord today. I want to welcome all of you that are in need today to come here to the front of this building, and let's pray together.